I like to listen to Mike Jones with a cup of tea and an obnob. My bird don't like him, though. Says he gets on his wick.
123 is brought to you in association with Affinity Wills. Future planning for your benefit. Visit our website at affinitywills.co.uk.
Yeah, good afternoon. Welcome to the programme. 5 minutes past one, you're on Phoenix with Mike, and a very, very special programme today. Before we start, though, I must give you some world-breaking news. I'm a bit cock-a-hoot this morning, because about half an hour ago, I got a phone call to tell me that my son has passed his driving test for the very first time. So I'm elated about that, and I'm in a really good mood. So now I'm just going to insure him, which is another whole kettle of fish, isn't it? Right, welcome to the programme. Programme in two stages today. On October the 29th, it is the Shenfield by-election. So all five candidates are in the studio today with me and others. So very, very warm welcome to all my guests. We have Cameron, we have Alison, we have John, we have Jan, and we have Peter. All in the studio. Lisa's providing the teas and coffees as we speak. And in the second hour of the programme, David's coming in. David's opened a new business in Brentwood, and we'll be discussing that as well. So let's go around the room. Let's start with some introductions. Let's open up all these microphones, and hopefully this will all work nicely. Let's start with Alison. Alison, you are the Liberal Democrat candidate.
That's right. Good afternoon, Mike. Congratulations on your son.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm going to have to buy him something, aren't I? Peter is the UKIP candidate.
Yes, good afternoon. Congratulations on your son. Congratulations. We're wearing his insurance bill.
We are, indeed. John, you're from the Green Party.
I am. Good afternoon, and thanks very much for the invite.
Right, that's fine. Let's get these mics up properly. Right, and Jan?
Yes, good afternoon to everybody, and I think what you need to buy your son is a car.
I'm going to buy him a car this afternoon. And Cameron is from the Labour Party.
Yeah, good afternoon, Mike.
Right, OK, that's not working properly. What have I done wrong? We'll come back to that in a moment, but let's start with you, Alison. This by-election has been caused by because your colleague Liz has stood down for personal reasons. So is this your first venture into politics, into local politics?
Yes, I have. I have the privilege of running as a candidate in West earlier in May, which was wonderful. So it's my second candidacy, and I'm absolutely thrilled to be a candidate.
Good. Why did you get into politics in the first place?
To be honest, the driving force was certainly the local Lib Dem group of individuals.
Yeah.
I love the town I live in. I absolutely love working with the people in Brentwood. So it's just feel incredibly passionate and driven to do it, to be honest.
Brilliant. Peter, same question to you. You've stood in a couple of other elections. Is this your third standing?
This is my third go. That's right. First time was in West Brentford, Brentwood, which is I sympathise with that, Alison, for the shoe leather that you have to put down in that ward. It's a large one, and then previously in the ward next door in Brises and Doddinghurst.
Okay, and John, this is the first time for you as well, Stan. The first time you've appeared on radio, isn't it?
It is. That's right. Yes. Yes, I've been interested in politics for some time and increasingly interested recently. So I think it's a very exciting time. If you look at the unpredictable vote at the general election, not that I was happy with the result, but also the increased membership of my own party, the Greens, and others as well. It's a time when it seems a time of all change and a very exciting time, I think, to be involved in politics.
Okay. Jan, you are the, let's put this nicely, you are the veteran of the group here. You're the most experienced. You've been in politics the longest, haven't you?
I think that's true, yes. I was a councillor for the Worley ward for 8 years, and I didn't win the seat in 2013 when the Conservatives lost control of the council. And I've now since moved to Shenfield. I absolutely adore Shenfield, and I've been working quite a bit with Louise Rowland, the councillor there, so sort of aware of lots of the issues. And to come back with the Conservatives now back in power would be wonderful.
Okay. Cameron, you are by far the youngest in the room. You probably must be the best looking as well, obviously. Right, you're a very young man. You've taken time out of sixth form to be here today, which we're very, very grateful to. Why this dangerous journey into politics? What's inspired you?
I've been interested in politics for 3 or 4 years now. It really just sort of kind of made me understand
how the country is run and why people believe what they do. And, you know, I have family who have been involved with the Labour Party for, you know, generations. And I really thought that, you know, especially within the Labour Party, there's something that I could really change. And stand in this local by-election would be my first one, obviously, as I've only just turned 18. And I think it's a good way to kind of get the message of myself and of the party out there on a local and eventually, hopefully, progressing onto a national stage.
Right, OK, thank you very much. OK, I'm going to turn to all of you now as a sort of a group. Let's look at a bit of the history then. The last election on the 22nd of May 2014, which Liz won, only a majority of just about 110 back in May 2014. She beat Louise by, about 100. So it's a tight field, isn't it, Jan?
Yes, I think it's very, very tight indeed. I mean, Louise did get a very good majority in the last elections in May. Obviously, we hope we can build on that and that that the people of Shenfield will have confidence in the work that we have been doing there.
OK. And then in May 2015, let's just explain, because the ward is split into this. There's three, there's not a West Shenfield or a North Shenfield, it's just Shenfield, and there are three councillors allowed to be elected for there. So we have already, we have Louise and we have Graham, is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Right, and because Liz stood down, that's why there is the by-election now.
Could I also mention, Mike, that when Liz Cohen won by that margin, we've got to remember that it was a seat held for 25 years.
Yeah, that's very true. I remember it well, yeah.
And so that was an amazing thing to do. And as with margins, they grow. And increase in voters voting for a particular party can grow from then.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll all agree as well that following the general election recently, you know, the results came out and there was many, many shocks there. And, you know, the Labour Party had a particularly bad night. The Liberals had a terrible night. Are we over that now? Do you think, are we now back to local politics? Because I always feel it's a shame that local politics suffers sometimes because of national results and national personalities. Do you think that people really, when they vote in a local election, they are really thinking locally? Are they still thinking, I'm going to vote for Jeremy Corbyn or I'm going to vote for David Cameron or whatever? What do you feel about that, Peter?
I feel that the vote in last May was affected by the national situation. I think that there was a fear that was countrywide at that time that our country might wind up being run by the SNP with Ed Miliband and Ed Balls, and I fear that that caused fear, and that obviously changed and was the driver for the result that we had nationally. But I fear that bled also into politics locally as well.
Okay, Cameron, since that general election, both Labour and Liberal Democrats have seen a massive rise in membership numbers. Why do you think that is?
I think that's a good thing to point out, really. You know, Brenton Onger Labour Party, our membership's almost tripled since the general election. You know, it shows that, you know, there are people interested in politics locally. And I think it's really because people, you know, see now that this party, the Labour Party itself, is changing. It's not that same. You know, a lot of people, when I was out on the doorstep during the general election, were saying, oh, all politicians are the same. And it's mostly young people saying this, that all politicians are the same, they're all liars, or they're never going to do what they say. And I think that since the general election, and since Jeremy Corbyn announced his candidacy, and then since he won, you know, people have seen there is a difference between the two parties, the two main parties, the Conservatives and Labour, and the fact that on a local level as well, we don't always agree on local issues, and that we are going to do different things. And I think that people now realise, especially the young generation who I'm speaking for as a young candidate, you know, they want to see this change, and I think that the Labour Party is growing because of that, and the Lib Dems as well.
Okay, let's just I'm not going to hang on to the national issues very much. I want to talk locally, but let's just go on to this Jeremy Corbyn business. Jeremy Corbyn is definitely Marmite. You either love him or hate him. Do you think that you may gain votes because there has been a huge swing of popularity towards Jeremy Corbyn? Do you think that might help your cause?
I think it will. Jeremy, I was on his campaign team during the summer. I was helping out. I was volunteering for him, and I think that he is a genuine politician, someone who talks honestly. And even at the Labour Party conference a while back, the banners up in the background were honest politics and straight talking. That is what he represents, and it's none of this. This decipher, politics you have to decipher. It's straight, it's to the point, and I think Jeremy is going to do what he says he's going to do, and that is really what attracts people to his politics.
Okay, Jan, you've got the hardest job because you're the party in power both nationally and locally, and you're defending all the time, aren't you? So what's your mood at the moment?
No, I think we're quite buoyant at the moment. I think that I think we're delighted to be back in power at the council and to be able to have a big enough majority to actually move forward and make decisions and make things happen. I think that the last years where the balance of power was held by such a small majority, it tended to stifle decisions being made. So I think now it's exciting times ahead.
I'd ask you to share that microphone. Just to there, because that one's not working very well.
Very cosy.
That's Jan, your party in Brentwood did have a big blip in the last couple of years. You had several councillors, Conservative councillors, leave and form Brentwood First, and that was really a shot across the bows, wasn't it?
Yes, I think that. We must be honest and say that that wasn't an easy time. We were very disappointed that things happened as they did. But I think in the end, it made us regroup, reassess, and made us stronger. And I think we proved in the last elections that it did just that.
Alison, Mr. Aspinall Barry had power for a little while. Obviously, he would say that he didn't get enough time to do what he wanted to do. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, certainly. I think, dealing with certainly some complications of things that were put in place now, hopefully, like protecting land within Brentwood for future generations. The administration now is certainly complicating what was begun. You mentioned the government's politics and local politics are clearly separate the two. I want to focus purely on Brentwood, on the local people.
I quite agree with you, but unfortunately the voting public don't, and that's history's always demise there. A lot of people, if they vote for you, you're thinking who the Liberal leader is, which is really nothing to do with Brentwood politics at all. That's the way the world works, unfortunately, but I couldn't agree more with you. I wish people would completely separate their politics.
But certainly people's allegiances are interesting. They're one nationally and very often something very different locally.
Okay. Peter, what was your main stance on this election? I looked at your Facebook page this morning and what sort of things you're standing for. Obviously, let's just talk about the local issues you've mentioned. The big news story for Shenfield, probably the biggest news for the last 5 years, has been Crossrail, isn't it? That's
absolutely.
And that's either going to... Well, I spoke to Barry long and hard about this, and because I still can't believe this is true, but Barry was insistent this is what was happening. You will now be able to get a train from here to Heathrow Airport. That's the idea, when it's finished in 2 years' time. Yeah. But he seemed to be under the impression that the train would stop at every stop, and it would stop at Gideon Park and Chapel Heath and Ilford and all. And that can't be true. Surely we're having an express train, because you can get an express train now. If you want to go to Shenfield from Liverpool Street, you can get an express train. It doesn't stop anywhere except Shenfield, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
So this Crossrail, surely... It's not going to stop it everywhere. What do you know about this?
As far as the plans as to where the trains will stop, I'm not sure. My concern is
whether we can actually park when it opens. You know, we certainly can't at the moment. During the build, there seems to be a parking ticket bonanza with one of the car parks closed, and the other car park just absolutely overflowing. Yeah, which seems wrong and unfair. What I'm concerned about really is the amount of unnecessary disruption that we'll have to go through between now and when Crossrail opens.
But is it unnecessary? Do you think they're not doing the best they can? Barry said, again, I'm going back a year now, that he'd met on various committees and they were trying to reroute lorries, so it's the minimum disruption to the people of Shenfield. Are you saying they haven't achieved that?
I would like to ask Barry if he's ever tried to park to catch the train into London.
Okay. I must bring John in because John, I'm hardly spoken to you.
Been very patient.
You have been right, John. Let's have your say. First of all, you introduced yourself as saying that you're an interest in politics. Why the Green Party?
Yeah, well, I do actually think that without a sustainable future, which is what the Green Party advocates above all, there won't be a future at all. And I think that's a very good reason for supporting green politics. And I think what was absent a lot from discussion in the general election and has been more locally is exactly what we're going to do about climate change, about which is a huge conference with the UN arriving at the end of November, December time. So on a global scale, that's why I'm interested in the Green Party. More locally, first of all, I'll say I think what came out of the general election was that people want change, and people have a whole range of views now, more so than in the past. And I think the days of two-party politics are coming to an end. I mean, the current government is in power as a result of, 39% of the people who voted and 27% of the electorate. That, to me, doesn't seem much of a mandate. And I think the time, given that much as I don't want to be seen as allied with UKIP, I will say one thing for them, that they had 9 million votes at the election and we had over 1 million and we have two MPs. And I think the time for change is here with our electoral system, which might reflect more readily the views of the general public.
But that's our own fault. If only 39% of people voted in the general election, that's our fault, isn't it, for not bothering to go. How can we get the voting public back?
And that's where local politics comes in. I think that comes full circle to us, because what the Green Party would say is that we start with local issues and they should permeate through, and we organise things from the bottom up, if you like.
You must be rubbing your hands in glee at the moment with the Volkswagen crisis.
It has certain advantages, that's true. So what we would say is I think local politics has a huge role to play. I think Shenfield is being a superb place, could do with an even higher profile. Were I elected, I'd want to have weekly surgeries, for example, whereby we could regularly hear what the views of people in Shenfield are and permeate those through regionally and hopefully nationally as well.
But you live in a lovely area. It's surrounded by parks and green trees, except your work is done, isn't it?
But will they remain? That's the question.
Yes, absolutely.
Will they remain?
Okay, right, I'm going to take a quick break, back in a moment.
Life begins at the beaches. Call in and see how life could change for you. Regular seminars for care fee planning, social get-togethers and lunch clubs. Visit us to see how your life could change for the better. The Beaches, London Road, Brentwood. Visit signaturecarehomes.co.uk for more information.
Into Lakeside turns 25 and fabulous on the 25th of October, and they're planning the biggest birthday party ever! With a performance from 90s superstars Bewitched and loads of other spectacular...
I think they've got the idea. Just do it all in your normal voice.
Spectacular celebrations. Join us on October the 25th for the party of the year. Visit into.co.uk/lakeside for details. How's that?
Community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Phoenix 98 FM travel update.
Yeah, quick look at the roads. Obviously, the big news stories are going on for weeks and run up to Christmas is the big closure on Ongar Road because of this huge, huge hole in the ground. Otherwise, not looking bad at all this morning. The M25 is behaving itself for Friday. So is the A12. So is the A13. A little bit slow through the roadworks at Chapel 100. But the good news is over the bridge and through the tunnel, it's clear. I met a guy the other day who works on the crossing itself. himself, and he's telling me that the problem at the moment, why it's still slow coming from Kent into Essex, is that they're still not sure what to do with the high-sided lorries and the tankers, because the tankers still have to have an escort through the tunnel. That is why they have to have traffic lights. That is why there's a queue, and that's why that's causing all the problems. But at the moment, it's A-OK.
Helping to keep Brentwood and Billericay moving. Phoenix 98 FM Travel.
Indeed, it's Phoenix 98 FM with me, Mike Jones. It's 25 minutes past one. There is a by-election in Shenfield coming up very, very shortly, October the 29th. All five candidates are in the studio with me today. I'm delighted to welcome the candidates from the Labour Party, the Liberal Democrats, the Greens, the Conservative Party and UKIP. Let's go back to you, Alison. You're a local, you work locally, you're very, very passionate about your politics. Can I just ask you, why did you choose Liberal Democrat in the first place?
I chose them for many different personal reasons. I feel it's a party in which your voice can be heard. It's a party that's willing to compromise and also lead as well, which they've shown, as they were in power up to May. And locally, it's like I mentioned before, it's a group of individuals I can identify both as part of an electorate and as a candidate as well. But I was going to mention, you mentioned Crossrail earlier, and if I'd like to, speak about the good work that Graham Clark has done as a task force on Brentwood Council, dealing with all the dilemmas, all the logistics. And there's an amazing amount of online information if anyone would like to see that.
Okay. I'm going to go around the room and ask you individually what you want to do, what to achieve for Shenfield. So let's. I'll come back to you, Alison. Let's start with you, Peter. What is UKIP going to do? If I'm a Shenfield voter and I want to put my cross in the paper tomorrow morning, why should I vote for you?
We will stop this. Tories building on our green belt. I think that's our key kind of local policy. We will seek to dampen the unnecessary disruption linked to Crossrail, and we want to bring an end to any potential rises in council tax and business rate by controlling, for instance, the six-figure salaries that take place at county level, which are a scandal because those people could never earn that money out in the private sector.
Okay, I'll take your point. On overpaid councillors, but with the Crossrail, let's just quickly go back to the Crossrail thing. The council's had plenty of time to plan for it and put everything in structure and try and minimise everything, and that problem will go. Once it's finished, it will all be, hopefully, beneficial of the service that it's offering. I mean, the overground service that goes from north to south, that seems to work perfectly all right now, and it's easy to get a train from Luton to Victoria, to Gatwick. So that problem will go. I noticed also you mentioned you're keen to get an extra entrance to Shenfield Station. I think I can agree with you on that. Because why at the moment? What, you've got to walk all the way around or something?
I don't know a railway station where the walk from the station car park into the station is quite that long. And it seems to be a bit of a scandal that you have to walk past the actual station and the platforms to go round to the front to just tap in with your Oyster. So that seems just like an obvious one to me. I don't know that's necessarily, lots of our policies. I don't know that they're necessarily political per se. I think it's just common sense.
You think you've also mentioned on your Facebook page disabled and elderly provision in the town. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, when I was campaigning last time, I had two or three people on the doorstep complaining about these keys that they have to be pre-issued to get access to toilets. I think I mean when I think back to when I was a kid, there were things like public toilets, that people mm-hmm. could use, and once again, I don't think it's necessarily a political point. It's a common sense point and a matter of decency that we have access to those things.
Okay, Jan, Peter's just said that the Tories have built on Greenbelt land. Is he right or wrong?
No, I don't quite know where he's. I don't know quite where he's stating this from. I mean, we are passionately involved in protecting the Greenbelt. Brentwood is a lovely, lovely area, and the biggest asset it's got is it's surrounded by this Greenbelt land, and we will fight very hard to protect that.
Have you fought hard against the 6,000 houses and
Gypsy Traveller pitches planned at Dunton?
At Dunton? Well, yeah, I mean, that doesn't quite come into our remit here in Brentwood.
Oh, so that's all right then?
No, I'm not saying it's all right by any means at all, but we're working for... I think you're asking me about Brentwood and how we will fight for Greenbelt preservation within Brentwood, and we will fight extremely hard.
And the doctor's surgery in Doddinghurst, once again, built on Greenbelt land?
Yes, because there are certain things that can fall within the remit of Greenbelt land. There are certain things, if you meet the criteria, that you can override the rules on Greenbelt land.
Well, we know UKIP think it's a precious treasure that needs to be defended, and we'll defend it harder than you guys do.
Okay. Let's bring in Cameron. They're sitting very patiently. Cameron, you're the smallest party of the big parties. You're the smallest party in Brentwood. Mike the Surf, etc., was a great lead for you in the town itself. Why did you choose the Labour Party in the first place? Hang on, I haven't turned your microphone on. That's better.
There you go. I chose the Labour Party. It almost seems too simple how I chose the Labour Party. I kind of sat down when I started to get interested in politics and brought up the main party's policies, and I went, I don't agree with any of those. I agree with these. It was almost an impulse decision of, this is how I feel about the way the country should be run. This is how I feel about how local politics should be run. So, I learnt some more, and I ended up joining about 2.5 years ago.
Have you thought hard and long about what a councillor actually means? Because I'm sure Jan will tell you that it's hard work, and it's time-consuming, and I'm sure you get lots and lots of emails these days and letters to answer and people stopping you in the street and people disagreeing with you constantly. Are you ready for all that? Should you be elected?
I think I am. I think, you might have read in the Brentwood Gazette one of the things I said. You know, Brentwood Council is full of experience. And, there's no telling anyone against that, because, you do have councillors who have been councillors for, 10, 15 years. And I think that the thing that is starting to run out, though, is the young person's perspective. You know, I've had to use facilities in Brentwood that probably people who are councillors have never had to use, because they've only come to fruition in kind of the past 2 to 3 years. And I think that I can bring that energy and enthusiasm that sometimes the younger generation have over that the older generation.
Okay, all right, good answer. It's good to see, Jan, isn't it, that regardless of his politics, it's good to see youngsters taking an interest. I'm sure you'll all agree.
Oh, absolutely right. I mean, we had William Lloyd, of course.
Yeah, William Lloyd, yeah.
He was the youngest councillor.
Churchill was 17, wasn't he, when he started?
Yes, he was, yeah.
William Hague was very young.
William Hague, yes, another absolutely.
One. John, let's get to you. What could the Green Party do? Why should I vote for you?
Yes, Sonny. Obviously,
come a little bit nearer,
yes,
sorry.
I certainly would endorse the points about the value of the Green Belt, and we're very fortunate, as you've said, to be living in an area where that's so prevalent. But we also in the Green Party recognise the need for reasonable housing, and the importance of Shenfield is going to make that even more pressing. For that reason, we'd like much more information about brownfield space, not those spaces which are attractive to go to and that we need for agriculture, but those spaces which are derelict, those areas which have been neglected, those areas which people won't miss, but where cheaper housing might be built, and therefore the growing side of Shenfield can be catered for. That's one point. The other side that the Green Party will look at is the quality of life for people. We have concerns about streetlights not being on after midnight. We wonder about how safe and comfortable pedestrians feel in Shenfield and surrounding areas. And if one's a cyclist, then you go through Shenfield at your peril, I think, very often. There was somewhat abortive attempt at cycle track through Brentwood, which was started. I think they've ceased. So I'd be looking, really, to balance the crucial importance of Shenfield as a transport hub, which we think is really important and valuable, against the quality of life for people locally, pedestrians, cyclists and everyday residents.
OK. Alison, is there any affordable housing in Shenfield?
I think there's a mixture of housing in Shenfield. Obviously, it's proximity to a very important station with Crossrail. You know,
yeah, pushes the prices up, doesn't it?
It does, and I think many of the long-term residents, you know, that's out of their control. So I mean, but certainly. Idealistically, you want to provide more homes, but it's, you know, Brentwood can't sustain that. The road network certainly can't. House prices, do vary within Shenfield.
Okay. Peter, I interviewed, it's Mick McGough, isn't it, who was the regional organiser?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, I interviewed Peter and Michael about... I think it was 2012 in the election then, in this very room, and asked him some questions about what UKIP were going to do. And he didn't really have any local policies. Everything he said was national. In your mind, have you got good, strong local policies that you want to implement should you be elected in this election?
Well, yes, and I think there's a huge difference speaking to Mick, who was going to run as a MEP and an MP, rather than talking to me as a prospective councillor. I mean, I live here in the area. I think that, our policies locally, absolutely protecting the character of Shenfield as it is now, standing up for the disabled and the elderly and making sure they have the provision in the town, protecting free street parking in Shenfield, which I think is critical to the shops, and an absolute no to the Tory building of houses on the green belt, regard to the point that I mentioned earlier with Dunton, where there's a plan to build 6,000 houses with traveller pitches. This Dunton is something that's co-run by Brentwood Council and Basildon, so it is pertinent. And this Tory desire to seemingly concrete by stealth, you know, our area. It seems to me insane. Building houses is great, but build the hospitals and the schools and the doctor's surgeries before.
Something in the news that's this week, Essex Police Station closures, disastrous really, almost like a 70% cut right across the board for the police service. Front office at Brentwood's going to close, apparently. Cameron, what do you think about that?
I think that, you know, any reduction in public services is a real shame, because I think that's one of the things that make that's strange. It's one of the things that makes our local community tick is, you know, those public services, and I think that, you know, we have seen the reduction of police services in Brentwood anyway. My home was burgled a few years ago, and it took the police an hour, almost 2 hours, to come to my house. And they were saying, you know, for the whole of Brentwood, they've got three police cars at some points, and two of those are focused on Brentwood High Street. I think, you know, to close the front desk in Brentwood Police Station, you know, people need that place to go if they are in trouble. You know, 999 isn't always the way to go, as the national campaigns have been running.
Okay, Jan, you're keen to come in on this because it's let me turn it left. Let's put your microphone on.
Speaking, yes, I am. Yes, clearly, we're all sorry to see the front desk close, and the decision taken was obviously with lots of statistics on footfall into there and the economic stability of keeping it open. I would just like to say that I spoke to Louise McKinley yesterday, who is the leader of Brentwood Council, and she has arranged a meeting with Nick Alston on the 6th of November with the possibility of using some space at the town hall to sort of operate a desk from there.
Oh, but how feasible is that?
Well, she seems to think it is, yes. She set the meeting up. I mean, obviously, it will be for Nick Alston to agree. But
I mean, to put that forward, to have something like a police station run at Brentwood Borough Council.
Well, it's only the front desk that.
Yeah, but when you think of the security, what they deal with, the reporting of crime,
Do we think that the PCCs were a complete waste of time? Or are we in favour of Essex PCCs? Nationally, we've got PCCs, these new commissioners, which nobody voted for, by the way. No, the lowest election results ever. Was that a good thing? Was it a quick straw poll across the room?
I think the biggest loss about this Brentwood closure, biggest concern, which sometimes overlooked, is the reduction in community policing by these...
the PCSOs are going.
Which is going down from 250 to 60. And I think that, in terms of everyday policing and security and people's comfort zone, if you like, being within a comfort zone within Shenfield is a major issue.
They're visible, and
they're there. Yes. And I think that's a huge loss.
Okay.
Yeah, you can only cost cut so far into something so vital as the police service. As council taxpayers, we've got to really question the amount we're paying to Essex County Council and what services we receive. It's just too important.
I must also mention Essex County Fire and Rescue Service as well, because that's in a report recently just come across as toxic. I can speak for me. I was a fire officer there for 32 years. I can tell you that when I joined, there was 922 firefighters and, I don't know, 50 admin staff, and now there's 500 firefighters. And, well, I'll just give an example here. There was two people running the whole of what we call human resources in those days. We called it something else. I've forgotten now. The staff officer. That was it. There were two staff officers. Now there's 50 of them, apparently. What's happened? I don't understand it. Why is there so much need for closure? Jan, it's really directed at you, not personally. But why is the Conservatives seem to be... I know they've got this huge debt that they want to get rid of, but vital services like the health service and the police and the fire brigade seem to be absolutely cut to the bone. It surely is dangerous.
Yes, I mean, nobody likes to see these services cut because they are vital to our community. But at the end of the day, books have to balance. And, you know, you have to... And obviously, I haven't been part of these decisions, but if you're faced with the situation, then you have to balance books and you have to operate within whatever your budget is, as we just heard about the health service this morning and the fact that they are operating well outside their budget, which is what's causing a lot of the problems for them as well.
OK, right, I'm going to take a very, very quick break and then come back and we'll just wrap up and you can all tell me why you're going to be the man or the woman for the job.
Here at the Brentwood Brewing Company, we've been brewing and selling great local beers since 2006. From our home at Colcott Hall Farm, we offer a wide range of products and services, including our beer club, guided brewery tours, tastings, open days, and the ultimate brewing experience, great for both private and corporate days out. To see our full range of products and services, visit our website, www.brentwoodbrewing.co.uk, or call us on 01277 200 483.
Aye, Pop Pickers, this is Mikey here. Just in case you didn't realise, I now present The Breakfast Show on Phoenix FM. And we talk about stuff like, rubbish, rubbish. We talk about rubbish and stuff like, are Tina Turner's legs on back to front? What shape would chairs be if your knees bent the other way? And why don't sheep shrink in the rain? So if you want to join me for some absolute nonsense between 7 and 10 every weekday morning, come along, 98 FM, and online, phoenixfm.com. Brought to you in association with St Francis Hospice, proud of the past and dedicated to the future.
My Bert come in the other day with a raging hump. said that Mike Jones was back on the radio again. He said, I ain't listening to that twaddle. He won't listen to him. Don't like him. Can't stand him. I done burnt a bit of liver and bacon. He likes a bit of liver and bacon. Don't like Mike Jones, though. Nah, don't like him.
On Phoenix FM, it's the Mike Jones Radio Show. A firm favourite with the whole family.
Community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Rule one in radio is don't fill your mouth with a biscuit just before you're going to put the microphone down. Which I've just done, but never mind. Right, the makeup of the council at the moment stands at Conservative 23, Lib Dem 10, Labour 2, Brentwood First 1 and Independence 1. The people sitting in front of me today are all trying to make that change by one. Is my list out of date, Jan?
There aren't any Brentwood First. Oh, right, no, I beg you. No, they're on.
No, that's out of date then, yeah. Google, what do they know, eh?
No, I think Joseph Quirrell moved over to the Liberals, did she not?
No, I understand. She's independent.
Oh, she is, right?
Right, okay. So my list is wrong. It is, isn't it? Yeah.
Still, well, she's independent then, yes. But
yeah, okay.
They're only Brentwood First as such, yes.
Okay, right. So you all want to hopefully put your mark on Shenfield. Let's go around the room. Our youngest member, Cameron, let's start with you and tell me why people should vote for you on October the 29th.
I think that, as I've said, you know, and you said, I am the young candidate here. I can bring the energy and enthusiasm which is needed to be a councillor. I think it's something that Brentwood Council is currently lacking a little bit. I think that, you know, the importance of the council's relationship with residents and also with different, you know, the town. UKIP candidate, whose name I've forgotten, I apologise.
Peter,
that's the one. You know, as you said, you know, the town is such a vibrant place, it needs maintaining. And I think that, personally, I think young people, as whom I represent, if we can encourage them to open their independent businesses and independent shops and things like that in Shenfield Town Centre, because, as we know, Shenfield Town has many independent shops. I think that's something the council can really get involved with. On the Crossrail front, I completely agree that the parking situation is a complete travesty. You know, the closing of Friars Avenue car park, an alternative needs to be found. My dad commutes into London every day, and three or four times now he's had to drive all the way home from Shenfield and have to get a cab to Shenfield Station because there is nowhere to park. You know, that is going to make an effect on people working in London. And finally, I just really think I'd like to bring up affordable housing. I am probably never going to be able to live in Brentwood in my own home.
Okay, that's a good point.
The house prices are astronomical and they're ever rising because of Crossrail.
The prices were high before Crossrail came along.
But that is the
area, you know, you've got to walk up Hutton Mount, haven't you, really?
Yeah, they are, you know, I just think that to be priced out of my family area, you know, my family have lived here for two or three generations. I want to be able to live in somewhere which I do love, and that's one of the reasons I want to be a councillor. I love Brentwood as a place. But not to be able to live here in the future until I may be 40 years old when I have a...
Oh, your parents are going, oh, no!
Yeah, I plan to live at home all the time. It's a real shame that, you know, myself, my friends, my other peers in the school where I'm from, you know, we are never going to be able to live in Brentwood because there is no affordable housing.
Well, I don't agree entirely with you because your parents and their parents managed to do it and they had the same circumstances as you, so that could happen. But you're quite right, yes, there is a lack of affordable housing in the area, but that is mainly because it's an affluent area. Jan, let's turn to you now. Why should people vote for you this time?
Well, I live in Shenfield. I live in Kilworth Avenue, which is right in the heart of Shenfield. So I have been getting involved with the local community. I think that Crossrail and parking issues generally, having knocked on quite a few doors in the last few weeks, seems to be very prevalent in the minds of Shenfield people. I think as regards Crossrail, we are dealing with things as they arise. The Conservative administration had put aside a sum of money in a reserve fund so that it could respond very quickly to parking issues as they were needed in and around Brentwood and Shenfield. Unfortunately, the last administration sort of delved into the reserves, but I believe in the last budget that Louise has produced, that reserve has been put back now, so that there we are ready to act as we need to. But I think parking generally in Shenfield is a bit of a problem. Lots of the side roads, and we've got surveys and with going out and about with local residents at the moment to see how we can deal with that, and to certainly make sure that the whole thing doesn't escalate as Crossrail comes into effect.
I mean, one thing that happened in Greystown Centre was a prime example where the parking changes remained and increased at some stage when they built Lakeside. And Lakeside, of course, offers free parking.
Yeah.
And the town centre has never, ever recovered from that sort of thing. Is car park revenue big enough carrot, if you like, for Brentwood Council? Is it worth them keeping on without discouraging, here's why I'm trying to get myself in a mess here, but to discourage, it discourages people coming into the town if they have to pay or find it difficult to park, if there was free car parking. Can we afford free car parking, basically what I'm trying to say, for Shenfield and Brentwood, really, or is it unnecessary?
I don't know. I think it comes back to what we were talking about earlier. I mean, I think the one thing that Conservatives are really good at is balancing books. I mean, I think nationally we proved that with the last election, and I think, again, you can't make promises, you can't make sweeping changes which you think would be wonderful for Brentwood unless you can actually fund it. And I believe strongly that the Conservatives are very prudent financially. And these are things that one would like to happen, but they have to be in the right economic climate.
I mean, you're quite right. They are prudent, but then also we've got police stations closing everywhere and a toxic fire service. But that's one way of looking at it. John, let's turn to you. Why should I vote for you?
Sure, I'd be prioritising communication, and as I'm a couple of generations older than Cameron, I'm lucky enough to have a bit more free time.
You prioritise education, would you?
Communication.
Oh, it's communication. The last thing I want. Education.
I've got more time to be available to make sure I attend every council meeting, and I'm there in these surgeries I mentioned I have weekly to hear people's views at a grassroots level. That's one point. The other point is certainly celebrating the green space we have, and encouraging close examination of every brownfield space we've got to maximise use of housing. I believe there's a plan to increase car parking, possibly with an extra story on the current station car park, which might be a possible way forward, but I'd recognise there's a major problem there. And I'd also want to make sure people feel safe in the streets, and that the benefits of the small businesses there, speaking to people in Shenfield, what they really value is the small businesses in Shenfield. And I'm wondering whether they feel comfortable about this debate that's opening up about increased opening hours or more flexibility with opening hours of bigger businesses as well, that's due to come around at the moment. So I think it's a question of making sure that we celebrate the benefits of a very bustly, busy Shenfield, with this now a major hub as a route centre, with the needs of everyday people who often walk, they cycle, and they need ears to be heard. And I think these weekly surgeries and somebody with time to listen to them and act on those concerns would be what I'd be offering.
Thank you very much. Peter, your turn. You're the UKIP candidate. Why should people vote for you?
Well, I was so incensed at the Conservative councillor that was given a fencing contract by Brentwood Council whilst only raising three issues for his residents in 6 months, that I actually ran for council in that ward in May 2005. Councillors' businesses should not benefit from being elected, and to me the job of councillor is about helping local people and not lining the pockets of Conservative businessmen. In Shenfield, the Crossrail investment is an opportunity in itself and a potential catalyst for further civic improvement, I think. But in the making, it's disruption and general effect on our lives. I'd like to see kept to a minimum, and I look forward to campaigning, as I said earlier, for the car park side entrance to that station. I'm fervently against Brentwood Council building on our green spaces and our car parks. The Tory-controlled planning department seems to major to me in inconsistency, dragging its feet and making mountains out of local planning molehills, while preparing to wade through these 6,000 houses and gypsy traveller pitches in West Saunders. UKIP fights for reform, both nationally and locally. And I see cutbacks to our fire service and our police at the same time that I hear about six-figure salaries for these people at Kip County level. You know, it doesn't have to be like that. I think we can we can get back in political politics to transparency. Transparency, common sense, and old school civic duty, and that's why people should vote the UKIP this time.
Just saying, up on what something you said there, where would you find the funds, though, to reinvest in the police force and the fire service and the health service, etc., locally? Where would you find the funds to do that?
Well, I'd start by cutting the six-figure salaries of.
Yeah, but that's only a tiny little. Rightly or wrongly, that's only a tiny little amount of money. We're talking a serious amount of money, like for police station closures. Where would UKIP find the money to do that?
I would obviously, you know, I'd need to see the budget. I would have different priorities. I would put the police and the fire service, local hospitals and local people first, and build the budget from there.
Okay. All right, Peter. Thank you very much, Alison. This is your first time you've stood, isn't it? A new experience. A new experience for you. What would you want to, if you could sit down with each voter individually? What would you say to them? Why should I vote for you?
Firstly, if I could defend the previous administration at Brentwood Borough Council on the reserve issue, and to put it sort of simply, I believe that was a long-term forecast in which, over a number of years, income would be returned back. So if I can firstly start there.
You're talking about when Brentwood first were in control? Yeah,
When the accord was the administration. With three parties.
Yeah.
And then if I could also say... I'm working with residents already. I'm reporting issues that are important to Shenfield residents. Rubbish that's being dumped, things that are important. There's a whole host of issues that are important. I'm hearing about the community hospital, services that have been cut there. I want to find out more for myself, and I want to address those issues. I work with residents every day, I've got to look people in the eyes and know I'm doing my absolute best for them. And there's so many other reasons as well to run. Shenfield will be a delightful place to be a councillor. And to work with the Shenfield community would be wonderful.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Well, let me take this opportunity to say the best of what you wish yourselves for the forthcoming election. Let's hope you get a decent vote above all else. At least the electorate comes out and votes for you. And thank you very much for coming in today. I hope you all will come back. And Jan, you've been at this is your second or third visit with me, so I hope you'll come back, and I think it's good to get it out in the open and discussed locally, and as I say, best of luck, and thank you very much for all coming in. It's been a pleasure. Thank you. Oh, incidentally, you can hear all this again online. It'll be up on our Phoenix FM website, and you can hear the whole debate all again.